Hey friends, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the weekly message from Transformation Church. I'm so glad you're carving out time to join us today. I believe this teaching can speak right to your heart and help you take the next steps in your Jesus-centered journey. I share a few thoughts at the end, but for now, let's jump into the message.
Good morning. Whether you're here with us or online or in the building, we are so glad you're here. We've been walking through our soul restoration series, seeking healing and renewal in every part of who we are, body, mind, and spirit. And today we're going to turn our focus to something that affects us all every single day, and that's our minds. And before I get into the title of today's message and what we're going to unpack, I just want to say I think God has a tremendous sense of humor. If you would have told me 4 or 5 years ago that I would be attending church every Sunday, let alone be up here and giving you guys a message, I would have thought that either I was on drugs or you were on drugs or we both were on drugs. But today I know I'm not on drugs, and most of you guys look like you're not on drugs. So I think, yeah, you look a little shady, George. But that just leads me to believe that God's having a good laugh up there. And, I want to echo what John had said at the end of his message last week, is that I don't claim to be like this super spiritual guru theologian, right? I'm just somebody who I saw God's grace, mercy, and love firsthand, and I got around some really spirit-centered people that led me here, right? And it's just lit a fire in my life, man, and really it just has brought me to the point of wanting to know more about the thing that saved my life, and that's what I is. And since I've came here and joined Transformation Church, you guys have shown me nothing but love and acceptance, and that's what it's about, and so thank you guys for that. And and like Chrissy said last week, or the week before, I'm nervous. I get up here, I'd much rather be the guy doing the recording rather than the one being recorded. But like Monica said, I'm going to give it to God. I spent some time this week just thinking about asking him, to use me in whatever way he sees fit. And so hopefully what comes out today is something that you guys can take with you. And like Harold says, it's not good news, it's the best news ever, right? And so the title of today's message is Finding Peace in a Busy Mind. So life feels like it's on fast forward. We're constantly connected, constantly stimulated, and constantly exhausted. The noise never seems to stop. Notifications, headlines, emails, deadlines, family pressures, social media, you name it. Our minds are always racing. And yet in the middle of this, God offers us something priceless, and that's peace. Right, and it's not temporary relief, it's not just a break, it's peace, perfect peace. And our anchor verse today was found in Isaiah 26:3 that Jane read this morning, and it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." This isn't just a poetic thought, it's 100% a promise. And today we're going to unpack how to experience this peace even in the middle of a busy and cluttered mind. So the first idea we're going to unpack today is a busy mind blocks peace. We live in an age of nonstop information. Our phones buzz, our schedules overflow, and our minds never really shut off. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose. Too much is coming out too fast. And what's the result of that? It's mental clutter. Our thoughts feel chaotic. Our sleep is restless. Our prayers feel distracted. And when our minds are full of noise, it's hard to hear God and feel his presence. And so Harold gave me a visual to share with you guys, and imagine walking into a room that's a total mess. Clothes are everywhere, boxes are piled up, stuff is covering the floor. You can't walk, you can't rest, you can't think, and before you can do anything meaningful in that room, you've got to clear the mess. And our minds are no different. When we carry anxiety, worry, fear, and distraction, it becomes spiritual clutter. It makes it hard for God's peace to settle in, but here's the good news. God invites us to bring that mess to him. And one of the things that Harold likes to talk about is, sometimes we feel like we have to clean up or organize ourselves before we come and present it to God. We want it to be wrapped up in a nice little package. And the promise there is that no matter where you're at, he's going to meet you there. And I've seen it happen in my life. It happens in people around me life all the time. To use that quote, well, people don't go to the doctor, and Jesus is a healer, God's a healer, and, I'm spiritually sick. He's not saying, wait till you get a little better and bring it to me. He wants you to bring, you're going to have to do some work with it, right? But he's saying, bring it with me. And that's a fantastic promise. It was for me because I always felt like I was spiritually disqualified. You know, my problems were too big or too bad or too wrong or twisted to bring to God. And that just wasn't the case for me. You know, he took me with all my baggage and everything and showed me the way. And in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So what clutters your mind today? Maybe it's fear of the future, financial stress, relationship pain, or shame from the past. Whatever it is, God says, bring it to me. You know, bring it on. Let's get to work. The next thing we're going to unpack is focus creates peace. Isaiah says that God gives peace to steadfast minds, those that are anchored, focused, and unwavering. And here's the truth we need to hear. Peace doesn't come from silence, right? It comes from focus. You can be in a quiet room and still be in turmoil inside, right? Or you can be in the middle of a storm and still have peace if your mind is fixed on God. And what does a steadfast mind look like? It's a mind that returns again and again to who God is and what he stands for. French theologian, and I hope I'm saying this name right, Francis Fenelon once said, "Peace does not dwell in outward things, but within the soul. The world around you may never be completely calm." It's never going to be completely calm. You know, everything is going on outside, but your soul can be. So how do we build that kind of focus? And Harold left me with a few daily practices to share with you guys, and that's spend time in God's Word. Let Scripture shape your thoughts. And for me, what I get every day is I have a Bible app. I get two verses that get sent to me, one when I wake up in the morning and one at noon. We call it gratitude hour. And I will say that 9 out of 10 times, that verse that I get popped up on my notifications directly relates to something I have going on in my life at that time. You know, is it odd or is it God? You know, and that's, and so trying to take that and align my will with what the Scripture says in practical application, it's a lot harder to do than, you know, me saying up here and saying do it, you know. It takes a little work, but I'll tell you, whenever I stop trying to get Taylor's way and just give it up to God, things seem to turn out a whole lot better, you know. And journal your prayers. Get the clutter out on paper and give it to God. In recovery, we do something called an inventory. And it's basically we take a sheet of paper, we write down every person that's harmed us, every failed relationship, broken, you know, heart, burnt bridge, and we write it all down and we figure out where were we at fault in this situation and how can we do better in the future. You know, and it's hard to kind of play all those things out in your mind, but once you get it in front of you, when it's something tangible, you know, and you can see it in black and white, ink and paper, it makes it a lot easier to identify and discard the things that are blocking us from God, you know. Practice breathing prayers, short, simple prayers that you can whisper throughout the day. And again, in the circles of recovery, we say the Serenity Prayer a lot. You know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And my first real realization that prayer works was I had just learned the Serenity Prayer. I'm driving to work. You know, this was maybe 3.5 years ago. I'm driving to work. I'm late. I'm disorganized. I'm rushing around. I'm sitting in traffic, and I'm looking for someone to blame, you know, when it's clearly my fault that I didn't give myself ample time to get out the door. And I said that prayer. Somebody had told me, just try it. And I said that prayer, and it was a peace that came over me after I said that, that I have not found a way to manufacture elsewhere. You know, it came from God. It came from me asking for help through God. And so those things work, man. Just take a little time out of your day, whatever you see fit, you know, work those little prayers in throughout your day. And take 5 minutes of stillness to simply reflect on God's character. Who is He? What does He want me to do? You know, how can I be more like Him? And in the and another thing, we do this prayer called the third step prayer in recovery. And this is a perfect prayer to say when you're trying to align yourself with His will. And it's, God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me from the bondage of self that I may better do Your will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Amen. You know, and that's an instant realignment for myself. You know, may I do Thy will always. Because I'm telling you, self is my biggest problem. I'm my biggest problem. You know? And the third point that we're going to unpack today is trust sustains peace. Isaiah 26:3 ends with this phrase, because they trust in You. Trust is the foundation of peace. You can declutter your mind, you can focus your thoughts, but if your heart doesn't trust that God is in control, the peace won't last. Trust is more than a feeling, it's a decision. It's choosing to believe that God is good, even when life isn't easy. It's believing He's near, even when He feels distant. It's trusting His plan, even when you don't understand it. And I'm going to give you another illustration. Think of someone floating on water. If they panic and flail, they sink. But when they relax and trust the water to hold them, they float. That's how it is with God's peace. The more we strive and grasp for control, the more anxious we become. But when we surrender and say, God, I trust You, His peace lifts us up. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 remind us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to Him and He will make your path straight. You know, in other words, when there's work to be done, the walls will come down. You know, when it's kingdom-centered work. When we trust fully, peace follows. And I was watching a movie maybe 2 months ago, and I ended up writing a reflection off of something a character said in there. The phrase was, God pays for what He orders. You know, I had never heard that before, and I was like, that is amazing, you know? And so I wrote this reflection. I want to share that with you guys. And so the phrase, God pays for what He orders, carries profound weight wrapped in simplicity. It suggests that when God calls someone to a task, a journey, a mission, He also provides the resources and the strength necessary to fulfill it. This isn't about fulfillment in a material sense, it's about a spiritual sense. Spiritual backing, emotional endurance, divine timing, and a reassuring presence. At its core, the phrase is a declaration of faith. If God initiates something, He takes responsibility for its completion. This turns our human understanding of burden and obligation on its head. Too often we say yes to something we feel called on, only to be quickly overwhelmed by the cost, be that time, energy, finances, or uncertainty, or all of the above. But this statement serves as a reminder. If it is co-signed by the kingdom, the obstacles will come down. God doesn't send without support, and He doesn't plant vision without also preparing a path. And there's another layer to this. The phrase demands trust. Not passive belief, but active, unwavering faith, because there are moments when things don't show up the way we expect or when we expect or how we expect. But believing that God pays for what He orders requires us to release control over the how and when, and instead lean fully into the assurance that if we're walking in the sunlight of the Spirit, we will not be abandoned mid-journey. And this phrase will challenge us. It exposes us a little bit. It challenges our motives, right? Is this kingdom-centered or is it self-centered, right? And I will tell you, more often than not, for me, it's self-centered, you know? And it's hard to see that from my point of view, right? But that's why I lean on people around me. You know, I ask for help. I ask them, Am I running on self or am I running on faith? You know? Is this kingdom-centered or is this self-centered? Are we moving in God's direction or are we following our ego and pride? When we self-appoint, we also self-finance in every sense. God pays for what he orders is more than comfort. It's a fact. It calls us to discernment, to humility, to trust, and to deepen our dependence on Jesus. If this is for him, you're not alone. Keep going. Heaven's credit is good. I love that, right? That's awesome stuff. And I'm going to summarize everything we just talked about today. I'm certainly not long-winded. I'm in and out. You know, they can't see what it's like outside, but I'm going to tell them that I want to get you guys out and enjoy the nice weather for the people online. Peace doesn't come from having everything figured out. It doesn't come from perfect circumstances or a quiet life. You know, and I've been there. I've been there where I'm the only one in the room and I'm still wrapped up in everything I got going on and my mind's tearing me apart, you know. It doesn't come from perfect circumstances or a quiet life. It comes from a steadfast mind, a heart that is decluttered, focused, and trusting. So here's your invitation today. Declutter what's occupying too much mental space. Right? Name it and bring it to God. Refocus. Choose to fix your thoughts on God's word, his promises, and his presence. And trust. Surrender control and believe that God is faithful. Even in the chaos. Perfect peace is possible, but it's not passive, it's practiced. And I love that. Even in the chaos, man. Because, again, it's easy for me to tell you guys that, standing up here, even in the chaos. Practical application of that is a lot harder, you know. This week, I want to challenge you to identify your mental clutter and surrender it to God in prayer. Memorize Isaiah 26:3 and pray it daily over your life. Set aside 5 minutes each day to be still in God's presence. No phone, no noise, just stillness and trust, which, man, I tried meditating. I've tried it and tried it and tried it. That's the hardest thing to do because, again, when everything else is shut off, wherever I go, there I am. You know what I mean? And it's hard. And that's, you know, again, this is what he's saying. It's peace isn't passive, it's practice. And so if you find yourself struggling to sit there quiet for 5 minutes, do it for 1 minute. And then do it for a minute and a half. And then do it for 2 minutes. You know, practice makes perfect. Let your soul breathe again. Let God restore your mind. And may you experience the kind of peace that only he can give. And then we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for offering peace even in our busiest moments. We admit that our minds often spin with distractions and fear. Today we ask you to declutter our thoughts and center our minds on you. Keep us in perfect peace as we remain steadfast in your word and promises. Teach us to trust you deeply. Let your presence be still in our racing minds and renew our spirits. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's message from Transformation Church. I hope today's teachings encouraged you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. At Transformation Church, we're a Jesus-centered community for people who aren't in the church. Whoever you are, whatever your past, you are truly welcome here. We're not concerned with your politics, your pronouns, or if you're in recovery. We want you to come as you are with all your hurts, habits, hang-ups, doubts, questions, and reservations. Our focus is simple. We become the one thing Jesus prayed we would become. One. We follow a Jesus-looking God and live Jesus-centered lives, seeking unity through love and grace. We gather every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in House Springs, Missouri, right at the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains. But church isn't just on Sundays. We meet throughout the week in house churches where genuine relationships form and transformation happens in community. We're also hearing from people all over the country who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching. If that's happening in your corner of the world, We'd love to know. To stay connected, find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or download our app. Just search for the Church app in your app store. Download it. It's churchapp-tithely, T-I-T-H-E.ly. And then enter Transformation Church. The app will pre-fill. Inside that app, you'll find our messages, devotions, announcements, sermon notes, discussion questions, the Bible itself, prayer requests, everything you need to grow and stay connected. If you'd like to support the ministry financially, visit us on the web at www.transformer4life.org. So transformer4life.org, or you can click the Give tab in our app. Every gift, no matter the size, helps us keep sharing the best news ever and helps us grow the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks again for being a part of this extended church family. I'm so glad we're in this together, shoulder to shoulder, as a Jesus-centered community, helping people rediscover life and experience true transformation.